Hi Krishna. Let's see how many questions we can go through here. We have a few from the Dira Bhaktadas in Wales, and now I'm just going to be abbreviating these. And he's asking first about preaching that he does both in schools as well as going to sort of official government local council meetings where they want to have multi-faith representatives. Are these things are of value? Srila Prabhupada's general method of evaluating things was palina parichyate, judge a thing by its result. What kind of result will something get? On the other hand, results also have different time in fructifying. So if you send someone out on book distribution, then you can pretty quickly gauge the result of his effort for the day. Within one day, you can find out how well he did. On the other hand, if you're going to a school program, then you may have to have other ways of gauging that result. First is establish what your expectations are and what you're offering people. If they're also getting them to take books and BTGs and take prasadam and chant Hare Krishna, then obviously that's one way of gauging the result, and that's maybe more short-term. But a long-term, and something that may really take a long time, is that you're investing in a young generation, who in the future will be the leaders of society, and convincing them, giving them a real good impression of Krishna consciousness, in which at a future time they will know that, well, we're not a sect, we're not a cult, but this is a real bona fide religion, and they've had that conviction ever since they were young and they first met a Hare Krishna who came to their temple, who came to their school, or their school went to the temple. So I would imagine that such evaluation may take a long time to see. And it's not, you know, within the bounds of reason that it may be your prime minister or the president of your country who may be a child who had some great experience when they were very young with a Hare Krishna. So, yes, these things do have value, but obviously one very important element of that is our own Krishna consciousness, our own enthusiasm, our determination, how effective we are, and how much we move people's hearts when we actually meet them. And that needs to be really part of the equation in itself. And so I would encourage, you know, dear Bhakta to discuss these things with his local authorities, with the devotees who are encouraging him to do this type of service, and to be very clear about what the expectations are, and then based on that, you can really sort of evaluate how effective the program is. But no doubt, enthusiastic Krishna conscious preaching has its effect in the short run and in the long run. Now, there's a Hungarian, Gyöngyösi Angela, and she's asking a lengthy question that I'm also just summarizing. And basically, she says that she has a large family, they got four children, and how do you balance Krishna consciousness and family life? Can you neglect some of the needs of the family, or more specifically, the needs of the children, in order to have a healthy Krishna consciousness and devotional practices? Here, well, to her, the answer is you have to do, you have to make your priorities, and in family life, children come as the first priority. You can't tell children, well, I'll cook for you, or I'll take care of you, or I'll change your diapers when I finish chanting my 16 rounds. And that's what family life is about, which is something that devotees who have a family always tell me is that you don't really know what it's like until you do it. What a big, extremely demanding situation it is to actually raise a family. But once you make that commitment, you can't back down on it, even in the name of, whether you've got enough time to read, whether you've got time to chant your rounds. Children need to be tended to. And obviously, in order to keep and raise your children nicely, you have to make sure that your family life is balanced and normal, aside from just being Krishna conscious. So that the family stays together and the children are raised in a stable, loving atmosphere. It's the priority. Once you make that decision, you have to stick with it. Srila Prabhupada had accepted the fact that sometimes young mothers may even have difficulty chanting their rounds as a consequence of having to stay up all night tending to children and other family needs. It's something that you make up when children make up for when children get older, but at a certain stage you just have to do the needful, and therefore taking care of children, ensuring that the family is nice and stable is integral to being a Krishna conscious, because it's integral to being actually the proper example for others. And as much as possible, obviously, chanting, hearing should be there, but as much as possible. I know, according to the nature of the family, the nature of the children, the circumstances, and so on, for some devotees, for some families, it's easier than for others. For some, it's sort of very, very difficult. In any case, one has to deal with each individual circumstance as they come, but the priorities, as I mentioned, are clear. And about the Fernando from Brazil has three quick questions, which I'm abbreviating. One is how to balance the disharmony and problems that come up in an institution with Krishna consciousness. The answer is that Krishna consciousness is perfect, and an institution means the interaction between people, which in Kali Yuga means that there's risks and that there'll be quarrel, there'll be disagreement. There's also great benefit, because Yajnaya Sankirtana Prayer, the whole Krishna consciousness movement, is meant to be done in a cooperative way together. However, there'll always be all kinds of problems associated with that. Benefits are also there, for instance, in the whole counselor system, how devotees, by assisting each other, can advance forward in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we also make mistakes, step on each other's toes, or the machinery of the institution appears sometimes a little impersonal. It's something that you have to learn how to live with and be tolerant. There's benefits to the institution, there are also drawbacks, but overall Srila Prabhupada evaluated that the benefits will outweigh the drawbacks. We need to be tolerant, understanding, and when there are problems, try to deal with them on the basis of really, really good communication and personal interactions. His other question is that he says that in his yatra, ladies don't cover their heads. I assume he's talking about Vaishnavis. And which is sort of funny, because that's a very much a Catholic country, and it's the culture of, especially in churches, Catholics to cover their heads, but maybe not so much so, as I haven't gone to church in quite a long time. However, how to enforce that? I don't think it's a matter of enforcing, but rather a issue of education. The education for full-time devotees takes place in their temples and so on, and for other devotees in what other forms that you have. That's why I value so much the counselor system as a means of communicating and devotees wanting to establish shared values in their practice of Krishna consciousness. Why cover our heads? It's part of our culture. And here the issue in terms of many wives is that often our devotees are more enthusiastic about chanting Hare Krishna and sort of cultivating our faith rather than actually implementing our culture of Krishna consciousness, what it means actually to be a society. And it's the cultivation or the culture of that society that we also need to teach and encourage each other to adopt and practice, and covering of the heads is one of them. And then the means for that communication, as I mentioned, the temple is one, and that's particularly just the GDC's and sannyasi's business to do that. But it's shared values by the community and the means in which the community supports itself. I gave the example of the counselor system or namharas or whatever they have in terms, and obviously on a personal level, devotees as individuals, how they communicate and encourage each other for developing that type of Krishna conscious community that Srila Prabhupada envisaged. And his last question was about Srila Prabhupada in the letter said that devotees, kshatriyas, can learn martial arts. He's asking whether we do that in Hungary, in Nipajadam. The answer is yes. Devotees learn martial arts, they practice martial arts, particularly those who are our guards, who stay awake at night. You know, we have property. And so we have guards, and obviously if they're going to guard, then they should be able to defend themselves and do whatever they have to do in case someone wants to break in. Of course, because, you know, martial arts doesn't necessarily make you a kshatriya. Kshatriya is more a matter of guna and karma rather than just being able to fight. Martial arts are good. It's a good form of exercise for adults. We also teach them to the children in school. It's a good form of exercise for young boys, just as girls may learn Bharatanatyam. Boys can also learn martial arts, and it also engages their mind as well, helps with their coordination, and teaches them a skill that may come in handy in the future to protect themselves. And that's as much as we have time for today, and Hare Krishna.